comes Parisi. That's a noble shot. Took a piece of a Parisi score! Ahead now for Fontaine. Into the zone. Fontaine gets the shot away. No! Oh, that went through Allen on a changeup. Now Granlin gets it through. A catch here. Save Elliott. Rebound. Parisi scores! Middle of the net. It comes to Nino Niederreiter. He has an empty net goal already in this series. Make it two!
It's shattering. Shattering for St. Louis, a team that has that kind of expectation. Again, be standing in this line and be on the wrong side of it.
I mean, it's Freddie Mercury, it's the Queen. I think they're a lot more used to blues music than this, but, you know, we thought it was appropriate anyway.
Of round one.
We win. We don't need those hot dogs. Let them go back to St. Louis and hide beneath their arch. There's a beatdown. Didn't look real good there for a while, though. I was scared by that second goal that they scored, or rather, their first goal they scored. I was. And it was a minute and, like, no, I'm sorry, it was a second and a half or so, right before the end of the second period. And, you know what, I started to have a little, here's what it's like. It's like your sphincter. It tightens up to a point where if you put a piece of coal up your ass, it would come out a diamond.
No.
We are the champions of rock and
roll. No home of the brave, land of the free. Wait. I messed up the national anthem again.
No time for backing.
Go home, no as sissy Steve Ott. You're a dud. Okay.
Ott, you suck. Ott, you suck was a big cheer yesterday during the game.
Yeah.
Ott, you suck. Ott, you suck.
He was, Steve Ott was very congenial with Devin Dubnyk after the game yesterday.
Oh, did they kiss and make up?
He walked out there and patted him on the chest and said, you know, I'm tired of being an a-hole. You're a good player.
I
was sick and tired of being an a-hole. The whole time, Devin, I've been wanting to really walk over, well, skate over here and hug you. Can we?
Ott, you suck. Ott, you suck.
You ought to suck.
You suck. Ott, you suck. Ott, you
so
suck.
So I was proud of him. Then the chant went up. Ott, you suck.
Yeah, and then there was a good one, too. Allen. Allen. And then it changed to Elliot. Elliot. Elliot.
I just like the E.T. one. I like ours Elliot. Every time the draft stops when it's just
Dube. 651-989-9105. Your thoughts on the game yesterday? It was unbelievable. I mean, Friday night, another great win in St. Louis. Come back here. I got asked on Saturday, hey, you want to go to the game on Sunday? And I said, yeah.
Why not?
I'll go.
Yeah, line me up.
It was amazing.
Good seats?
You have great seats, yeah.
Not a bad
fantastic
place. Not a bad seat in that house.
No.
Did Adrian do the,
no.
Let's
no,
play hockey?
Jack Morris did.
Wow.
Black Jack Morris.
Black Jack. He's kind of gruff. He's got a little Mike Berardino in him.
It was real quick, though.
Please welcome Vikings All-Pro running back Adrian Peterson.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
He nails it.
Adrian?
He nails it.
Take it away, AP.
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's time to drop the puck.
Uh-huh. You know.
So everyone say it with me.
You know how it goes. Yep. Ready? Tom?
It's time to play hockey.
That is not correct. Are you okay? You going to make it?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me get. I need some water.
Yeah, drink some water. I was at Tom Reed's before the game, 105 the ticket giveaway, sweet tickets before the game. And as I was walking into the XL Energy Center, I follow none other than...
So the time has come to drop the puck.
Teapaw.
And he turns around and like, it was his dad or his brother, somebody that looked an awful lot like him, kind of tall and nerdy looking, hunched over just a little bit. And the guy that he was with went on the right side, the right aisle. T T-Paw went to the left aisle. I followed T-Paw, and he turns around and looks at me like, hey, and he's telling me what to do to get in the line. I was like, no, T-Paw, I know what's going on. Your guy's up there. T-Paw was there.
Why don't you go up there? Quit worrying about which side of the aisle you're on.
T-Paw.
Get it? Right or left side?
You can do it!
It was a political joke there. Right or left side of the aisle there.
It was a busy weekend in sports.
It was for me, too.
Did you get to see the best thing that happened to the United States of America on Friday night?
I did.
How'd that go for you? Bruce Transgender, 2020, two-hour special.
Saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
Every bit of it. DVR'd it. Got back home, I forget what time, yesterday, but yeah. Sat down and watched the whole thing.
How'd that go?
I can't help but feel for the guy.
Yeah, me neither.
I do feel for him, and it makes you feel
like a woman.
Badly for him.
Makes you feel like a woman, right?
Yeah, well, it makes me feel like a woman. And I've been wanting to say this for a long time. I feel caged. A little pent up in here. Maybe someday you'll see her. Sitting right here in this chair.
That would be awesome.
I have a dress. It's a big-ass dress. I will wear it.
It's a tent.
It's an awning.
We'll talk about Bruce Jenner coming up in just a little bit, but honestly,
I was really torn by it.
It was interesting. I just got off the phone with Pete Wagner, our hockey dude, and he said, I'm so excited you guys are talking about this. We'll talk about it in depth coming up at 6:24. Got a couple of couple of parody songs. She's a Lady. Remember, he said it was his favorite.
That was his song.
He said it was his
Diane
favorite
Sawyer
song.
Asked you. So, he couldn't sing it worth a damn.
No, but I kind of chopped some things up and put it together. You'll hear it coming up at 6:24. You cannot miss it. But Bruce Jenner, honest to God, it was a mind bender, almost. Thinking,
it was confusing,
what?
Trying to figure out.
What's going on?
What? How do you look at this? What do you become? Then he kind of answered it there at the end. I don't want to say anything now because maybe you have that as part of your...
Talk about whatever you want.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, she asked him, like, where's this going to go?
Yeah.
You know, when it's finally all said and done and you've made that transformation, you know, will you become a lesbian or... And he said, I'm not there yet. I'll just say it's going to be asexual for a while and leave it.
Said
at
he's
that.
Never been with a man. He's
right.
Not gay.
Right.
And then she held up a picture of him winning the gold medal in the decathlon, and he goes, that's Bruce. That's her.
That's me. He kept saying, that's me. That's who I... It's
her.
Just gonna, you're going to get to see me...
Her.
Not put. You're going to see me for the first time not putting on men's clothing. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Kind of. And then to explain transgender, to go to a psychologist... It's, how'd they describe that? It was
like
going to bed is going to bed with someone is your sexuality.
Yes.
But going to bed, who you are when you go to bed is your gender.
Yeah.
It was a deep show. It was like, it was confusing to me. I feel for the guy. I mean, he's had that since he was, what, 6, 7, 8, living back in Ohio? Was that Ohio? That little apartment that he walked up to with her?
I don't remember, but
maybe
yeah, that
so.
Doesn't matter.
You can't help but feel for someone that's gone through that.
Imagine the demons and the torture that he, in this internal battle that he has. Whether I agree or disagree with that lifestyle or whatever, it's not my life, not my choice, his deal. Let him do whatever he wants to do. But wow, just completely interesting. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Twins took 2 out of 3 from the Seattle Mariners, including
some ball.
An 11th inning extra inning triple from Joe Mauer to score 2 runs to win the ball game yesterday. One of the questions coming up in 4.5 questions: are you satisfied with what Joe Mauer's doing? He's having a pretty decent year so far.
Yeah. Several of those guys.
Elizabeth Meineke, beat reporter for the Blues, Fox Sports Midwest. She's also going to take part. She also covers the Rams. She'll take part in our mock draft coming up on Wednesday.
She'll need something else to do now.
Yeah, but we'll talk to her coming up in just a couple of minutes here to talk about the St. Louis Blues and if there have anybody been fired yet, because let's just face it, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL, and then they continually lose out in the first round.
That's I think great. It's the end of Alfred, don't you?
Yeah.
I do too.
Alfred E. Newman?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh.
You don't get that.
No, I do get it. I guess. Chicago Blackhawks, though, the end of this week, the round 2 starts. It'll be great. 4.5 questions. Vikings draft. It's draft week. lot of information, a lot of rumors, a lot of innuendo. Doesn't look like to me Adrian Peterson's going to be traded. I don't know about you.
Well, not right now.
We'll talk about that coming up. Jim Rich will check in with Minnesota Wild talk, Hardball, Mike Berardino. Talk about those red hot twins. Brandon Warren wants to give Trevor Plouffe a contract extension. We also give away plenty of tickets today. Thursday's home game for the Minnesota Twins. Plenty of tickets. Tons of them, actually. We keep listening to the show. We'll give those away throughout the rest of the show. We'll also send you to Northern Invasion to go see Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, Volbeat, and more at Somerset Amphitheater Saturday, May 9th. Best sports facts trivia. Got a packed show today.
Say that again. Best sports
facts trivia.
Best sports
facts
trivia.
Trivia.
We'll have to. That'll be. I'll judge that one. I'm always a like an arbitrator.
Uh-huh.
I'm always a lifeline. But when it comes to deciding the categories of just what are the best sports, I'm the only one that should be like, oh.
These are best sports facts. For example,
what if I don't agree with the sport you pick? You say, I'm going to come up with one of the best sports. Now, here's a couple facts about that one particular sport.
Well, for example, we're going to give you all the sports, but for one, I mean, here's one of them. Michael Jordan's nickname in high school was blank.
Okay.
Was it A, Magic? Was it B, the Dominator?
Was it
C, Hercules?
Hercules.
Or was it D, the Superstar?
I think we can completely disregard that last one. That was already taken. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Who's the only coach to win the Super Bowl with three different quarterbacks?
I already know that one as well.
Who is it?
It's Don Shula.
That's not true.
No, it's
Joe Gibbs.
Oh, okay. What was the only player to have a shoulder dislocated and no one care? Then you get no choice. You have no other.
Say
choices.
It again.
Who has been named the only player that has ever dislocated a shoulder and no one on either team cared?
You.
No. We'll talk about that later. I thought it was kind of funny. Tape an aspirin to it. We used to have him here. You didn't see it, did you?
Mm-mm.
I can tell.
Mm-mm.
You didn't see Kevin Love get his shoulder blown off?
Oh, I did see that.
Come on.
I thought you were talking about something in the past.
I'm
too busy wrapped up in these 101 sports facts trivia deal. But Kevin Love, you're right. He's out for at least 2 weeks from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And maybe they can actually
get something done.
A team.
Now they can stay together.
Maybe not hate each other so much.
There's only one thing worse than having your shoulder pop out. Well, two things worse than having your shoulder pop out. Number one, by a guy that looks like a girl, not Bruce Jenner, but with ponytails.
Okay.
Long ponytails.
Yeah.
And that after it happens, no one cares.
Yeah.
Go sit down.
And he just runs off the court.
Ran straight off.
What a douche.
So he could cry. So he could be by himself.
I have a question about Kevin Love coming up in 4.5 questions. It has nothing to do with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It has nothing to do with the sprained shoulder. But it's an interesting thing as we look towards the offseason for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
You want him back?
Maybe.
Okay.
No, I don't want him back.
No, I don't think we do. I think that might hurt the chemistry. Could hurt the chemistry a little bit, but we will we'll delve into whatever you want to delve into.
From 1918 to 1949, how many winning seasons did the Philadelphia Phillies have?
1918 to 1949?
Yeah.
They had two.
One.
Oh. I was 50% off.
Starting in 1990, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls never had a three-game losing streak for 8 years.
Phew. Man, I mean...
Despite not playing basketball since high school, Bruce Jenner was drafted number 139 by the NBA's Kansas City Kings after winning the men's decathlon at the 1976 Olympics.
Name the point guard for the Kansas City Kings.
Bob Cousy.
No, I'm sorry. He was the point guard for the Boston Celtics, along with Bill Russell.
Okay. Who?
It was Tiny Nate Archibald. Bruce Jenner would have teamed up with Tiny Nate Archibald.
That would have been great.
Yeah, it would have. So, but I can't believe Bruce Jenner yet.
Bruce Jenner, I know.
He's gone.
No, he's not gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
No,
Bruce Jenner is really tough. He's going to be gone. He wants to be gone.
Well, he will be gone, but he's not gone yet.
Well, close. He wants to catch up to Diane. He, that guy.
No, he.
That was a guy. He, I guess, still wants to meet up with Diane Sawyer next year this time. So he can show her.
See how funny Diane Sawyer, just how surprised she was when he said he was a Republican?
Because he was conservative. Yeah. Very conservative. I'd like to go 180 with
Noah. What?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I thought the funniest one was, I thought the funniest thing ever that made me laugh out loud was when she said she was leading into his time as he went down his timeline with Chris and the Kardashian family. And then what must that have been like, you know, being around all these you know, divas and these women. And then he said, he looked right at the camera, he goes, but I was the one that had the story.
Yeah.
I had the story. I thought that was great. Oh, I was so happy for him. Because he's right. The rest of them have nothing to bring to the table.
Oh,
nothing.
No.
He's like, at least I had the story. That was the best ever. Anyway, we're going to come back. Elizabeth Meineke, we will talk to her about her very sad, sad story and their lives now. As they know that in St. Louis, it's a different world now. We'll talk with her next.
It sucks. There's no other summary of it other than it sucks. I mean, we put a lot into regular season to get into the playoffs, and we seem to, rather than go up a notch to, you know, beat a team, we're feeling them out or whatever, and we're on our heels too much, and they take it to us.
Well, I think that Macus says it all. And I think that Elizabeth Meineke has finally come to grips with that. It's taken her a while to want to pick up her phone. She's sat there over and over again and just watched the number dial through, and she's not going to be able to avoid us. So she finally decided that she would go ahead and pick it up, not dismissing the 612 area code. Elizabeth, how are you? Or is that a given?
So much better after that introduction, let me tell you. And gosh, you can just hear the disappointment in David Bax's voice and the clip that you just played. So great, depressing way to introduce me there.
you're very welcome. Well, it was all I could do.
We had to do, you know, whatever it takes. And the first question that I have for you from all of our hockey people up here in Minnesota is, anybody been fired yet?
Not as of right now, as of when I checked my email a couple of minutes ago. So, I mean, the team has their postseason media availability tomorrow. So, I think everything is probably on hold till then, at least.
Alfred going to be fired, you think?
Yeah. I think his career has gone to the birds. I think all the St. Louis fans can see him in their rear window.
I think it'll be interesting to see what direction they decide to go. It'll be interesting whether they end up deciding that this is a coaching issue or, you know, a player personnel issue. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see. I'm sure we'll get answers soon, but, you know, it'll be hard to speculate it. I mean, well, everyone's speculating this part, but, you know, I think we'll have answers soon enough that we don't need to spend too much time speculating about who's going to go where. So.
Yeah, Elizabeth Meineke, the beat reporter for the Blues for Fox Sports Midwest. She also covers the Rams, and we'll talk to her coming up on Wednesday for our mock draft. You're a busy lady, but seriously, when looking at this last series, just looking back now, obviously hindsight's 20/20, did it seem to you that the Blues just didn't necessarily know who they were? They switched from game to game. At first they were bruisers, and then they were trying to play the speed game, and then they came back and they were I mean, the Minnesota Wild actually out-hit them. They out-skated them. There were a couple of times there, obviously, that 6-1 game where we thought, oh, boy, here we go. But the Blues changed almost every single game.
Yeah, you know, I give the Wild a lot of credit. They, I guess, did a good job of getting in the Blues' head or causing some kind of identity crisis. I don't know. What's odd for me about that, though, is, you know, for the past several seasons, the Blues have had a pretty standard identity, you know, and it's sort of a blue-collar, defensive-minded system where everyone works hard, check hard. And really, it's a system where it only succeeds if you put 110% into it. When it does, however, it's great hockey. It's fundamentally sound, and it's really brought them a lot of success in the regular season. I know they struggled a little bit this year, you know, having so much more offensive talent took a little bit of time for them to adjust to being able to utilize that while still playing responsible and, you know, not getting too cute with passes and things like that. And they really did just seem to kind of not be able to figure out, you know, how to reconcile those two in the postseason after having a lot of success in the regular season, which is disappointing for them. I think that this team had a lot more to offer, and it would have been nice to have seen that play out on the stage that they were given.
I guess that Bruiser Bruce Jenner isn't the only one that had trouble trying to identify with himself and find out who he was. The Bruisers in St. Louis with the Blues also have an identity issue. But I would say...
Don't point at me.
You said that.
No, didn't don't look
say,
at me.
You said you just...
I was looking for you to help him out there.
I want nothing to do with that.
They are too talented to be going home this soon.
It's
three times in a row now. And I thought it would be seven games for sure. And I didn't know how we were going to come out. I mean, obviously, we were the hot-handed team coming down the stretch. But to think that our momentum would hold somehow against a team like that over and over again, a team that we had years of issues with trying to beat it at their place.
Hadn't beat them since 2007 in St. Louis, right. And then three times since.
Right. And that's just amazing to me. So I'm pushing forward against Chicago with the Blackhawks. Elizabeth, how do you see that going? Because that's not the same team we had in the playoffs last year. They've been nicked. I think Kane is back, though.
Yes.
And he is.
But they're not the same team. I want to say they won the championship. What was it, 2011, Elizabeth? They're getting old. It's pretty much the same team. And I don't know. Wow. You're such a great hockey mind. What do you see for the round two for the Minnesota Wild?
You know, it's funny because no matter what happens to the Chicago Blackhawks, they shouldn't be able to produce the same results. watching what they did against Nashville was extremely impressive. I mean, talk about getting off to a slow start, being down three goals in the first period of game one, and then just to kind of be able to come back and do what they did. It's definitely impressive. I will have a lot of fun watching the series. I think that, you know, the Wild showed... the Blues, as we discussed, they are a good team, and the Wild ended up being better, and I think, you know, it'll be great to kind of see two teams like the Wild and the Blackhawks that, you know, at this point had produced very strong outings in those first rounds and beat teams that were very good. Nashville's also a very good team, so it should be a good and interesting series for all of us watching you guys up in Minnesota and Chicago there.
I think it should be very interesting. I thought it was quite a sight to see all of the different Blues players skating past Dubnyk on the handshake after the last game on Sunday. The respect. I mean, just the incredible respect that they each and every one stopped and, patted him on the chest a little bit and then talked with him a little bit. Each one of the players, as they showed him the handshake, and they kept it right on him. So you got to see almost every player from the Blues skate past him. But I think that's an amazing thing to see a player who's come from where he's come from to a place where he is now, where he pretty much owns these matches. And I mean, the one goal that got through was an incredible goal. I forgot who it was from the Blues that knocked it through, but it was an incredible. Was it Yoshi?
It was Oshie. I agree with you. I watched the replay many times, and just you blink and you miss what happened. It's definitely not something that should be a black mark on Dubnyk's performance in this postseason, because he really has been one of the best stories of the NHL this year.
It's been a lot of fun, Elizabeth. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch with you. It's a big week for us still here in Minnesota, continuing with hockey, but also with the NFL draft coming up. We want to have your thoughts because your team down there, St. Louis Rams, I think is a completely different team now that Nick Foles has been added to this and whatever else they're going to do in the draft. That's an up-and-coming squad, so we want to be in touch with you going into the draft as well.
Well, great. I look forward to it. It'll be fun to talk some football with you guys.
Well, let's do that.
And Elizabeth, real quick before we have to let you go, just give us a preview. Just give us a name if you could have anybody on the St. Louis Rams drafting one spot ahead of the Minnesota Vikings right now before anybody's taken. Who realistically would it be?
I mean, it depends on if they have some of those, you know, game-breaking wide receivers available. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to be able to say before Wednesday. Maybe it'll be a good enough teaser there.
Okay. I'll take it. We'll take it. Thank you, Elizabeth. We'll be in touch with you before the draft then, okay?
Great. Thank you, guys.
Right, thank you.
Good afternoon.
Elizabeth Meineke. She is
fun. You feel bad for her at all?
I do, because she's such a good-natured person. She works hard at her job. She covers a team that she should, I think, still be covering, maybe. The Rams are going to be a different squad for her, though. I think they have something to hang their hat on there this season, too.
Let me just talk about, real quick, just the atmosphere at the XL Energy Center and around the XL Energy Center yesterday. It was kind of weird. I mean, fans are excited and everything like that, but they're not overly excited. They're not cocky about it. But they're not, you know, down in the dumps about it either. It's kind of a middle ground, and I want to say that maybe it's just the way of being a Minnesota sports fan, where we've been down this road so many times, mm-hmm. and we've been disappointed so many times. So, yeah, it's great that we got through round one against a very tough St. Louis Blues team. However, we faced the Chicago Blackhawks in round two for the second year in a row. 3 years in a row, the Chicago Blackhawks, 2 years before this, but we're meeting them 3 years in a row. But the 2 years before this, they ended our season as well. So as Wild fans, are they scared? Are you scared of the Chicago Blackhawks? Are you worried? I think this is a different team. Like you said to Elizabeth, this Minnesota Wild team is a different team. It's four lines deep. We have the Dubinator. We have an unstoppable goalie. Granted, he had that 6-1, just a nightmare of a game, but that's going to happen every once in a while. Overcame that, came back and allowed one goal yesterday to seal the deal. Rose to the occasion. I think we can play with and beat the Chicago Blackhawks, and I think we will.
There's a different kind of thing about the Wild that I've been watching for the past 2 years previous to this season. It's a gritty kind of toughness. That we're not the biggest, and we've said this over and over again. We're not the kind of team that's going to go out there and level people and lay people out and sort of be that kind of team. But we're gritty tough. You know, we're like we don't care, and we dare you to try some of your tomfoolery because we don't care, and we're going to score anyway. It's a good attitude on this team. Good front to back, and if you have a goaltender that can stop pucks from going in the net, you got a pretty damn good chance.
But I also think that I heard people over the weekend say whoever wins the St. Louis Minnesota series is not going to have a problem because it's been so tough. Won't have a problem beating either Nashville or Chicago. Obviously, Chicago ended up beating Nashville. And then other people that are saying it's destiny, the cup for Minnesota. It's destiny, the way that we came back after, the All-Star break, after they traded for Devin Dubnyk, and the way they've played, the hottest team in the NHL. It's either A, destiny, or it's B, almost malaise. There's nobody in between. And I've never really experienced that before with the Minnesota Wild because they're such rabid fans.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating to see what you have. You have so much more faith in a team like we have going right now. We stumbled a couple times with St. Louis, getting beat 4-1, then 6-1, and we kind of thought, what happened here? Dubnyk got sat down. How's he going to react to that? His first playoff series, well, the rest is history. I mean, he was just stellar. Mm-hmm. He was stellar. He had it all in perspective in his mind. He let a few of them get away from him. Okay, great, let's move on. And I think that because of him and because of this team's toughness, been there, done that, and we want to get over the top and turn a new page and beat Chicago and advance into a third round. That's what we have. We want to beat the Chicago Blackhawks, the Wild do. They have been sat down and retired 2 years in a row now by the Blackhawks. I mean, it's just time to get some sweet payback. That's all there is to it. And I think that this might be their year to at least advance past where we got last year and beat the Chicago Blackhawks and park them for the season and move on. And if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the rest. So we're going to do 4.5 questions. I dare him to ask me something I can't answer. I take that back. I'll just take the 4 questions.
I'd prefer you call me she and her from now on. It's just who I am.
So she or her, or she her.
Sure. Or sure.
Oh, sure. Sure. I'll call you sure. We all get that from now on. That's going to stick. Old sure over here, sure Holson. Come on back, everybody. 4.5 questions from sure.
My year was going down, and I just feel like it was just getting worse for me. You know, I feel like I was letting my whole team down, and the coaches. And I feel like, I had a lot to prove this year to everyone, fans and everybody else. So this year, like I said, this year is going to make me a break man. And I hope I step up this year and have a good role in this offense.
Interesting comments by Minnesota Viking wide receiver Cordero Patterson.
Cordero.
Needs to prove himself. At least he actually said it, that he wasn't doing his part, wasn't doing enough. Let his teammates, let his coaches, and himself down. Finally, someone's growing up.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because in 4.5 questions over the weekend, Vikings general manager Dick Springsteen said that Cordero Patterson has grown up, quote, a lot.
Yep.
Spielberg went on to say, quote, I know what he has done this offseason, dedicating himself to being the best receiver he can be and how serious he's taking that. We're very excited about the future with Cordero. Cordero, obviously. I hate it when people say Cordero. Drives me nuts. But to me, Spielman never, ever, 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 ever tells the truth. And you always have to read between the lines with that guy because he's always playing the game. Always. Do you think Dick Springsteen, do you take him at his word and how telling with the draft will be when it comes to the Vikings what they really think of Cordarrelle Patterson? Because if they take a wide receiver at the beginning of the first round or trade back up in the first round to grab somebody that's falling or something like that, that means that they probably don't think very highly of Cordarrelle.
That would be the telltale sign, obviously, if someone like one of the bigger, I don't know if there is a small name of the three with Cooper and White and
Parker.
But there's
Lockett.
There's Lockett from K-State. And
Doriel Green Beckham, the character flaw.
Missouri. But I would say this, just from hearing what I heard from Cordarrelle on the soundbite coming in, that's a different voice. That's not Spielman saying, yeah, he's done a lot. He's proven to us that he's really, when he comes out and says those kinds of things and takes ownership.
But he was saying those kind of things last year.
Mm-mm.
He was like, yeah, I wanted to get out there and help my team win and this and that.
Okay. But he might have been saying that like all of them do. He wasn't saying, I let myself, my teammates down, my coaching staff down. I didn't do enough. It's time for me to reprove myself. I got one more year. That's what he said. That's a whole different language there. That's a different thought process. Someone's done some talking to him. I think we know who it is. And if it is him, that's some of the best schooling he'd get.
TB?
Yep.
TB?
Yes.
Short little TB.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say his name?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's right or not.
But that's what we expect.
That's what we thought, and that's what we...
Troy Brown.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're being told. And if it is, that was a good one. And for a long time. And oh, by the way, when he was asked to play on the other side of the ball, he did that too. Oh, and he had an interception in the Super Bowl. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right kind of guy to listen to. He's been through a lot, and he's had to be very disciplined to have played as long as he did. Troy Brown, I know him.
But with Cordarrelle Patterson, and now I can't stop saying Cordarrelle.
Say Corduroy.
Corduroy.
Say that. It's a good material. It's better material.
Cordarrelle Patterson. I was so frustrated last year, and we talked about it several times, why Norv Turner couldn't just get him the damn ball. Just get him the ball.
Hard to do.
I don't care if he can't run routes. I don't care if he's not doing exactly what... This is about winning. This is about putting the ball in your playmaker's hands, and if you're the offensive genius that everybody says that you are, run little slants, run little drags, whatever it takes to get Cordarrelle Patterson the ball. Obviously, he can't run routes. Obviously, he can't catch the deep ball. And if he doesn't necessarily fit into your offense, he's still a big part of the offense that you are running. Get him the ball.
If he knows what he's doing.
He knew what he was doing with the ball in his hands his rookie season.
Well, that's because no one thought that he was ever going to get the ball. He was like the last person they thought was going to get the ball. And then when, oh, guess what? Here's the little swing pass that no one really honors, and he's single covered out there on the edge.
Bye-bye.
He makes one move because he was a legit Pro Bowl a kick returner. You think one guy standing in front of him is going to tackle him? No. No. And after they figured out, well, oh, I see. So this kid gets to be the football player out there on the edge. They swing it to him. It's an easy catch. He does it from there. That's his play from there. But they took all that away from him the next year. Like, no, you're not getting that.
But you can find ways to get him the ball, for God's sake. And they didn't do it.
If he doesn't know what he's doing, he's not going to be able to do it. You can't get open in the NFL. You can't get open in the NFL if you don't know what defense you're working against and what sort of pattern you can run that's not going to be screwing the playoff completely. The quarterback can't trust it. I mean, Charles Johnson walked in and just started catching him and being wide open. Funny how that works.
I love that guy, too. Question two, the Wild beat the St. Louis Blues in just six games to advance to play the Chicago Blackhawks round two. That's the third straight year now the two teams will match up in the playoffs. Is the third time a charm? The previous two, obviously, the Blackhawks ended the Wild's postseason run. Who wins the series and in how many games? It's very premature. Obviously, the games aren't going to start until Thursday or Friday, probably Friday. They're afraid. The NHL is afraid of the NFL draft on Thursday night. They want nothing to do with it. They'll probably start the second round on Friday. That's at least how it looks right now. Almost a week out.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins the series and in how many games?
I think it is our year. I think it's our year to get past Chicago. I think for all the reasons that we've talked about already with Elizabeth Meineke and just between you and I, I mean, just the goaltending, the four strong lines, the discipline, the self-discipline to be able to take hits and checks and bully ball from St. Louis and not get in any trouble and just keep skating and keep putting the puck in the net. I think that it's our year. I think it's over with in seven. And I think it's a true task at hand to beat these guys. And after you get past one level, you move up to a better level. I think you just survive in advance, but that next level is another level. So I think that you have a tougher time than you did with St. Louis.
Do you think the Wild have more problems with a quicker team, which is what they are, and what the Chicago Blackhawks are as well, or a more physical team like the Nashville Predators, the St. Louis Blues, the Anaheim Ducks?
I think that the Minnesota probably has more of a mental block to beat and to prove that themselves past with Chicago. I guess Chicago. It's the team that retired you twice. They kind of have your number. So did St. Louis. St. Louis had our number at their place especially. It didn't stop them from taking two games down there at their place and two back up here at home and winning the whole thing and setting them home in six. I think it's a mental block. I think we match up pretty well with anyone talent-wise. Skating, you know, the skills and of all four lines and the speed of all four lines seem to work. And Dubnyk is tough. Mm. He's tough, so I think we beat him.
Corey Crawford back in goal. They announced for the starter for round two, game one. Corey Crawford, the goalie for the Chicago Blackhawks. Question three and four and a half questions. Yesterday, Joe Mauer won the game for the Twins. He had a two-run triple in the 11th so far this year. It's really too early, but just hang with me here a little bit. He's hitting .299, has 20 hits, one triple, three doubles, three runs, 11 strikeouts, and 11 walks in 67 at-bats. Twins seem to be maybe have turned some things around a little bit here. They split the last road trip, the Kansas City Royals and the Seattle Mariners. So looks pretty decent coming off that abysmal first week of the season on the road in Chicago and Detroit. Are you happy, satisfied, or disappointed in Joe Mauer's year so far?
Satisfied. Satisfied. And maybe I should just say happy that he's shown signs of having a pulse. Because this is what is expected of him. He's that kind of player. He's paid that way. Finally, he looks like he's put in the time to me physically. He looks different physically to me. But like he's actually worked at it. Mm. I don't know. Just to the eye, he looks like he's actually a little bigger, a little more prepared than the usual Joe Mauer. Good numbers, decent numbers, right on track with what he's always done before in the past when he's
been a lot of strikeouts. So
yeah, that's unusual for him. That's unusual for him. But 299. He's hitting the ball all over the park. Doesn't matter. They can't talk about the shift anymore. He's proven that he's passed that little deal. But
Dick Bremer yesterday said he said Joe Mauer yesterday hit the ball three times in his three when he got on the base three times harder than he's seen in his past 3 years. Yesterday alone, he said.
I didn't see the game, but he looks bigger to me, and I have seen him play. I have seen him a couple times, and it looks like. You know, he's got a little more physicality about him. It just does. He looks bigger through the legs. He looks bigger through the upper body. I think he's done something to prepare for a season.
Steroids?
Yes, of course. No.
Question four. The Timberwolves had an interesting year, finishing obviously the worst record in the NBA, but featuring the probable rookie of the year, trading for Kevin Garnett, bringing him back. What can the Wolves do this offseason to get Midwesterners to buy in with this franchise that has severely let down the fan base? Because we all know that Midwesterners want to cheer on the Timberwolves. You saw it when they traded for Kevin Garnett, and they came in droves to see Kevin Garnett. So what can they do to fire up the flames of the fan base? Change colors, change mascots, different little jersey deals, sign back Kevin Love, you name it. What could they do?
Not Kevin Love. That's just taking a step backwards. That's the
but
wrong,
adding
that's
Kevin
the
Love
wrong chemistry.
This team?
It's the wrong chemistry.
Even though he's a bitch, but
that's a negative chemistry.
Imagine,
it's a negative vibe.
Imagine getting Cat from the Kentucky Wildcats.
Well, that's the one. You have to be lucky in the NBA. You have to be lucky to do something big in the lottery.
But imagine getting him and then signing Kevin Love,
no.
Andrew Wiggins, Kevin Martin, Ricky Rubio. That's a heck of a team.
No, yeah, I mean on paper. I mean, looking at what he's done before here in the past, that's not what he is with other players around him. He'd ruin that and never get the ball where it was supposed to be, not be the right guy in the locker room, not, yeah, I'm telling you right now. I mean, he would demand the ball at all cost. Kevin Garnett would be fighting with him every day in practice, probably. I wouldn't doubt it. And it's the worst thing that you could do with a new team that has a great new attitude, new energy. To put a guy like that back on the squad, that's a nightmare revisited. The way I see it, they'll do better without him. A guy like that, you get Cat, you pick up Cat in the lottery somehow, you're lucky enough to do that, I think you're in pretty good shape. Done deal. That's it. That's my take, though.
All right. 4.5 questions. Here's the half question. It's Vikings draft week. It's NFL draft week Thursday night, obviously. 7 o'clock live right here on Sports Radio 105. The Ticket. On Wednesday, we'll do a mock draft with reporters all over the country as they pick for their respective teams that they cover. It'll be quite interesting.
Should be.
So, one word heading into the NFL draft as to what you think the Vikings draft plan will be.
One word. Let's try and make this in one word. Let's make the word 11. They're going to stay on 11.
No, they're not.
11.
No, they're not.
Yep.
Nope.
They stay with 11. That's my prediction. I say they stick on 11 because exactly what they're looking for is exactly where they sit with that and the phone call, or rather the timer on, the clock's on, and we're running up to the podium, and we got the guy right in front of us. 11.
What if the guy that we're talking about and we love, Trey Waynes, Michigan State
quarterback. We'll have an option of two different guys.
Devontae Parker.